Words appear. Warner Brothers Pictures presents. A full moon sneaks between clouds. It is nighttime on a college campus. A door opens, and several people exit from a building. A man and woman walk together down a path. Words appear. Elizabeth Taylor. Richard Burton. In Ernest Lehman's production of Edward Albee's Who is Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Also starring George Siegel, Sandy Dennis. Produced on the stage by Richard Barr and Clinton Wilder. Director of Photography, Haskell Wexler. Production designer, Richard Silbert. Film editor, Sam Osteen. Sound by M.A. Merrick. Set decorator, George James Hopkins. Hairstyles for Miss Taylor created by Sidney Gilleroff. Assistant to the producer, Hal Peller. Assistant director, Bud Grace. Production advisor, Dwayne Harrison. Costumes designed by Irene Sharaf. Miss Taylor's makeup by Gordon Bell. Mr. Burton's makeup by Ronnie Berkeley. Supervising hairstylist, Jean Burt Riley. Script supervisor, Meta Rebner. Copyright 1966 by Warner Brothers Pictures, Inc. Music composed and conducted by Alex North. Screenplay by Ernest Lehman. Directed by Mike Nichols. The man and woman arrive at a two-story house. The woman takes the cigarette out of her mouth. Takes her coat off and puts it on the top of a chair from which it slides to the floor. She surveys the darkened living room and shakes her head.
What a dump. Hey, what's that from? What a dump!
With an exaggerated hand gesture.
How did I know?
Oh, come on. What's it from? You know.
Martha.
What's it from, for Christ's sake?
What's from?
They go in the kitchen.
I just told you. I just did it. What a dump. Huh? What's that from?
I have the faintest idea.
Dumbbell.
She pushes him aside from the refrigerator.
Some damn Betty Davis picture of some goddamn Warner Brothers epic.
Martha, I can't remember all the pictures that came out of Warner Brothers.
Don't be asking you to remember every goddamn Warner Brothers epic. Just one single little epic. That's all. Betty Davis gets peritonitis at the end. And she wears this big black front wig all throughout the picture, and she's married to Joseph Cotton or something.
Somebody.
Munching on a chicken leg.
And she wants to go to Chicago all the time because she's not that actor with the scar. But she gets sick. And she sits down in front of a dressing table.
What actor? What scar?
I can't remember.
George does a crossword puzzle.
What's the name of the picture? I want to know what the name of the picture is. She gets peritonitis. She decides to go to Chicago anyway. And
Chicago. It's called Chicago.
Huh? What? What is?
I mean the picture. It's called Chicago.
Oh, good grief. Don't you know anything?
Puts the chicken bone
Chicago
in the refrigerator.
Was a 30s musical starring little Miss Alice Faye. Don't you know anything? This picture. Betty Davis comes home from a hard day at the grocery store.
She works in the grocery store?
She's a housewife. She buys things.
He lights a cigarette.
She comes home with the groceries, and she walks into the modest living room of the modest cottage modest Joseph Cotton set her up in.
Are they married?
And yes, they're married to each other, Clark. And she comes in, and she looks around this room, and she sets down her groceries, and she says, "What a dump!"
He looks up.
She's discontent.
She takes his cigarette.
Well, what's the name of the picture?
I really don't know, Martha.
Well, think!
Well, I'm tired, dear. It's late.
I don't know what you have to be tired about. You didn't do anything today. Well, you didn't have any classes or anything.
Your father didn't set up these damn Saturday night orgies all the time.
Oh, that's just too bad about you, George.
Well, that's how it is anyway.
You didn't do anything. You never do anything. You never miss. You just sit around and talk.
Well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go around braying at everyone all night the way you do?
I don't bray.
All right. Don't bray.
I did not bray.
I said you didn't bray.
Fix me a drink.
Have you had enough?
I said fix me a drink.
Well, I don't suppose a nightcap would kill either one of us.
A nightcap? Are you kidding? We got guests.
You got what?
She brings ice to the bar in the living room.
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
She grabs the glass out of his hand.
Lord, Martha, do you know what time it is? Who's coming over?
What's their name?
Who?
What's their name?
What's their name?
Oh,
they go upstairs.
I don't know their name, George. You met them tonight. They're new. He's in the math department.
I don't remember meeting anybody tonight.
Well, you did.
Oh, yes, and I... Who are these people?
He's in the math department.
Who?
He's in the math department. He's young and he's blonde.
He's good looking and well built?
Yes, good looking, well built.
Good figures.
What?
Nothing.
His wife's a mousy little type without any hips or anything. Do you remember them now?
I guess so, but why in hell do they have to come over here now?
Because Daddy said we should be nice to them, that's why.
For God's sake.
Daddy said we should be nice to
them. Why now?
Because Daddy said we should be nice to them.
Yeah, but I'm sure your father didn't mean we were supposed to stay up all night with these people. I mean, we could have them over some Sunday or something.
Well, never mind. We'll try to this Sunday. Early Sunday.
She straightens up the bed.
Well, it's done.
Takes some stray clothes off a chair and hides them under the bedspread. Takes a plate off the nightstand and shoves it in a drawer. puts more stuff under the bed cover. She sits in front of a mirror.
Okay, where are they? If we could guess, where are they?
I'll be here soon.
What do they do, go home and get some sleep first or something?
I'll be here.
I wish you'd tell me about things sometimes. I wish you'd stop springing things on me all the time.
I don't.
He lies on the bed.
Yes, you do. You really do. You're always springing things on me.
Oh, George.
Always.
Poor Georgie, Porgie, put upon pie.
She adjusts her hair.
Oh, what are you doing? Are you sulking? Let me see. Are you sulking? Is that what you're doing? Huh?
Never mind.
Oh!
No, just don't bother yourself.
Oh!
She climbs on top of her.
Oh! Hey! Hey!
What?
Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? Virginia Woolf? Virginia Woolf? Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? What's the matter? Didn't you think that was funny? I thought it was a scream.
It was all right.
You laughed your head off when you heard it at the party.
I smiled. I didn't laugh my head off.
You laughed your goddamn head off.
It was all right.
It was a scream.
It is
very funny, yes.
She gets up and gets her drink.
What?
You make me puke.
It wasn't a very nice thing to say, Martha.
That wasn't what?
A very nice thing to say.
Oh, I like your anger. I think that's what I like about you most. Your anger. You're such a simp. You haven't even got the what?
Guts?
Phrase maker.
She gets back on the bed.
You never put any ice in my drink. Why is that, huh?
I always put ice in your drinks, Martha. Oh. You eat it, that's all. It's this habit you've got of chewing on your ice cubes like a cocker spaniel.
She reaches for his glass.
You'll crack your big teeth.
Steals an ice cube.
Well, they're my big teeth.
Yeah, so...
Plops it in hers.
I got more teeth than you have.
Two more.
Mm. Oh, you're going bald.
So are you. Go, honey.
Hey, go on, give your mommy a big sloppy kiss.
No.
I want a big sloppy kiss.
I don't want to kiss you right now, Mom.
He sits up, facing away from her.
Where are these people you invited over? Where is this good-looking, well-built young man and his slim-hipped wife?
Stay down to talk to Daddy. They'll be here. Why didn't you want to kiss me?
He goes downstairs.
George?
Freshens his drink.
George?
Yes, ma'am?
Why don't you want to kiss me?
Well, dear, if I kissed you, I'd get all excited. I'd get beside myself, and then I'd have to take you by force right here on the living room rug. And our little guests would walk in, and, well, what would your father say about that?
Oh, you pig.
Oink, oink.
Mix me another drink, lover.
My God, you can swill it down, can't you?
Well,
oh, Jesus.
Look, sweetheart, I can drink you under any goddamn table you want, so don't worry about me.
I gave you the prize years ago, Martha. There isn't an abomination award going that you haven't won.
swear if you existed, I'd divorce you.
And just stay on your feet, that's all. These people are your guests.
I can't even see you.
Did you pass out?
I haven't been able to see you for years.
I try to keep your clothes on, too. There aren't many more sickening sights in this world than you with a couple of drinks and you and your skirt up over your head.
Tossing stray items onto the couch cushions or into the fireplace.
Party! Party!
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this, Martha.
Go answer the door.
You answer it.
Get to that door, you.
To you.
Come on in! I said get over there and answer that door.
All right, love. Whatever love wants. Just don't start on the bit, that's all.
The bit? The bit? What kind of language is that? You imitating one of your students, for God's sake?
Just don't start in on the bit about the kid, that's all.
What do you take me for?
Much too much.
Yeah, well, I'll start in on the kid if I want to.
I'd advise against it, Martha.
Well, good for you. Come on in! Get over there and open that door.
You've been advised, Martha.
Yeah, sure. Get over there.
All right, love. Whatever love wants. Isn't it nice the way some people still have manners and just don't come breaking into other people's houses, even if they do hear some subhuman monster yowling at them from inside?
God damn you!
He opens the door. A young couple stand in the doorway.
Hi there.
Hello.
Come on.
You must be our little guests.
Just ignore all sourpuss here. Ah, come on in, kids. Just hand your coat and stuff to all sourpuss here.
Perhaps we shouldn't have come.
Oh, yes, it is late.
Late? Are you kidding? Just throw your stuff down any place and come on in.
Anywhere, furniture, floor, doesn't make any difference around this place.
I told you we shouldn't have come.
I said come on in. Now come on.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Look, Martha, you cut that out.
Martha's a devil with language, she maybe is.
kids, sit down.
They sit on the couch.
Oh, isn't this lovely?
She pokes her husband.
Oh, yes, indeed, very handsome.
Oh, well, thank you.
George sits down opposite from Martha.
Who did the painting?
That's by...
Some Greek with a mustache Martha attacked one night in a...
It's...
Nick gets up.
Got a...
Quiet intensity.
Well, no,
But then a certain noisy, relaxed quality, maybe.
No, what I meant was...
How about a quietly noisy, relaxed intensity?
Dear, you're being joshed.
I'm aware of that.
Oh,
I'm sorry. What it is, actually, it's a pictorial representation of the order of Martha's mind.
Fix the kid's drink, George. What would you like to drink, kid?
Honey.
George sideswipes Nick on the way to the bar.
Oh, I don't know, dear. A little brandy, maybe. Never mix, never worry.
Brandy? Just brandy? Simple. What about you,
Bourbon on the rocks, if you don't mind.
Mind? I don't mind. Don't think I mind. Martha, rubbing alcohol for you?
Sure. Never mix, never worry. Hey, who's afraid of me? You?
Virginia, whoa, wasn't that funny? That was so funny.
Yes, it was.
I thought I'd bust a gun. I really did. George didn't think it was funny at all.
Martha thinks that unless you, as she demurely puts it, bust a gut, you're not amused. You know, unless you're carrying on like a hyena, you're not having any fun.
Well, I certainly had fun. It was a wonderful party.
Yes, it certainly was.
And your father, oh, he is so wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you.
He's quite a guy, isn't he? Quite a guy.
You better believe it.
Oh, he's a marvelous man.
I'm not trying to tear him down. He's a god, we all know that.
You lay off my father.
Yes, love. What I mean is, when you've had as many of these faculty parties as I have...
I rather appreciated it.
You what?
I mean, aside from enjoying it, having fun, I appreciated it. Everything, meeting everyone, getting introduced around, the way he had us put up out at the inn until our place is ready. Why, when I was teaching in Kansas,
you won't
to people
believe to... it, but we had to make our way all by ourselves. Isn't that right, dear?
Why, yes.
We had to make our own way. I would have to go up to the wives in the library or the supermarket and say hello. I am new here. You must be Mrs. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so's wife. It really wasn't very nice at all.
Daddy knows how to run things.
Martha starts rubbing Nick's knee.
You bet your sweet life.
Let me tell you a secret, baby. There are easier things in this world if you happen to be teaching at a university. There are easier things than being married to the daughter of the president of that university. There are easier things in this world.
It should be an extraordinary opportunity. For some men, it would be the chance of a lifetime.
There are, believe me, easier things in this world.
Some men would give their right arm for the chance.
Alas, Martha, in reality, it works out that the sacrifice is of a somewhat more private portion of the anatomy.
Nick's wife stands up.
I wonder if you could show me where the...
Are you all right?
Oh, of course, dear. I just want to put some powder on my nose.
Martha, will you show where we keep the euphemism?
What? I'm sorry. Come on, I want to show you the house.
We'll be back, dear.
Honestly, George, you burn me up.
All right.
You really do, George.
Okay, Martha, just trot along.
You really do.
Just don't
Nick
shoot your
mouth. Nick thumbs through a magazine.
I'll talk about any goddamn thing I want to.
Okay, vanish.
Any goddamn thing I want.
Vanish.
Come on.
The women go upstairs. George gets up and goes to the bar.
What'd it be? I'll stick to bourbon, I guess.
Nick tosses the magazine and gets up.
So you're in the math department?
No. No.
Oh? Martha said you were. I think that's what she said.
Handing him his drink.
What made you decide to be a teacher?
Oh. Well, the same things that motivated you, I imagine.
Oh? Uh-huh. What were they?
Pardon?
I said, what were they? What were the things that motivated me?
Well, I'm sure I don't know.
Well, you just finished saying that the things that motivated you were the same things that motivated me.
I said I imagined they were.
Oh, did you? Oh, well.
Nick walks across the room and looks away.
You like it here?
Yes, it's fine.
I meant the university.
Oh, I thought you meant...
Yeah, that. I could see you did. I meant the university.
Well, I like it fine. Just fine.
He sits back down on the couch.
You've been here for quite a long time, haven't you?
Oh, yes, ever since I married, Martha. Even before that. Forever. Dashed hopes and good intentions. Good, better, best, bested. How'd you like that for a declension, young man?
Sir, I didn't answer my question. Sir?
Don't you condescend to me. I asked you how you like that for a declension. Good, better, best, bested. Huh? Well?
I really don't know what to say.
You really don't know what to say?
All right, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to say it's funny so you can contradict me and say it's sad? Or do you want me to say it's sad so you can turn around and say, no, it's funny? You can play that damn little game any way you
very
want to, you know.
Very good.
And when my wife comes back, I think
calm down. All right? You want another drink? Here, let me have your glass.
I still have one, and I do think that when my
let
wife...
Let me freshen it for you.
Grabbing Nick's glass.
What I mean is... You two, you and your wife, you seem to be having some sort of
Martha and I are having nothing. Martha and I are merely exercising, that's all. We're merely walking what's left of our wits. Don't pay any attention to us.
Still, I thought...
Well, now, let's sit down and talk, huh?
It's just that I don't like to become involved in other people's affairs.
Oh, you get over that. Small college and all. Musical beds is the faculty sport around here.
Sir?
I said musical... Oh, never mind. I wish you wouldn't go sir like that. How old are you?
28.
I'm 40-something. Well, aren't you surprised? I mean, don't I look older?
I think you look fine.
I've always been lean. I use the handball courts. How much do you weigh? 155, 60, something like that? Do you play handball?
Not very well.
Then we shall play sometime. Martha is 108 years old. She weighs somewhat more than that. How old is your wife?
She's 26.
Martha's a remarkable woman. I would imagine she weighs around 110.
Your wife?
No, my boy. Yours. Your wife. My wife is Martha.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Yes, well, if you were married to Martha, you would know what it means. Then if I were married to your wife, I would know what that means too, wouldn't I?
Yes.
Martha says you're in the math department or something.
No, I'm not.
Oh, Martha's seldom mistaken. Maybe you should be in the math department or something.
I'm a biologist. I'm in the biology department.
Oh.
Sir?
You're the one. You're the one's gonna make all that trouble, making everyone the same, rearranging the chromosomes or whatever it is. Isn't that right?
Not exactly. Chromosomes.
I'm very mistrustful. Do you believe people learn nothing from history? I'm in the history department.
Yes, I know.
Martha tells me often that I'm in the history department as opposed to being the history department in the sense of running the history department. I do not run the history department.
Well, I don't run the biology department.
You're 21?
28.
28. Perhaps when you're 40-something, you will run the history department.
Biology.
The biology department, of course. I'm really very mistrustful. I read somewhere that science fiction is not really fiction at all, that you people are rearranging my genes so that everyone will be like everyone else.
Oh, no.
I suspect we will not have much music.
Sitting next
to
Nick
painting,
and putting his arm behind
but
him.
But we will have a civilization of sublime young men, very much like yourself. Cultures and races will vanish. The ants will take over the world.
You don't know much about science, do you?
I know something about history. I know, and I'm being threatened. Your wife doesn't have any hips, has she? I mean, does she?
What?
Oh, I didn't mean to suggest that I'm hip-happy. I was implying that your wife is slim-hipped.
Yes, she is.
You got any kids?
No, not yet. You?
That's for me to know and you to find out.
Indeed.
No kids, huh? What's the matter?
Nothing. We just, we wanted to wait till we're settled.
You think you'd be happy here in New Carthage?
Grabbing Nick's drink.
We hope to stay here. I don't mean forever.
Well, I wouldn't let that get bandied about. The old man wouldn't like it. Martha's father expects his staff to come here and grow old and fall in the line of service. One man, a professor of Latin and elocution, actually fell in the cafeteria line one lunch. But the old man is not going to fall anywhere. The old man is not going to die. There are rumors, which you must not breathe in front of Martha, for she foams at the mouth, that the old man, her father, is over 200 years old. There's probably an irony there someplace, but I'm not drunk enough to figure out what it is. Martha! Damn it. I wonder what women talk about when the men are talking. I must find out sometime.
What do you want?
Isn't that a wonderful sound?
George!
How many kids are you going to have?
I don't know. My wife is...
Who stops? Slim-head. Halfway down the stairs.
Ah, well, there's one of you at least.
You must see this house, dear. Oh, this is such a wonderful old house.
Yes.
Martha!
For Christ's sake, hang on a minute, will you?
She'll be right down now that she's changing.
She's what? She's changing?
Yes.
What, her clothes?
Her dress.
Why?
I imagine that she wants to be comfortable.
Oh, she does, does she?
Well, heavens, I should...
You think, don't know.
You all right?
Yes, dear, perfectly fine.
So she wants to be comfortable, does she? Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, I didn't know that you had a son.
George turns his head and stares.
What?
A son I hadn't known.
You'd have known me to find out, huh?
Tomorrow is his birthday. He will be 16.
Well,
she told you about him?
Well, yes.
She told you about him?
Yes.
You said she's changing?
Yes.
And she mentioned...
Your son's birthday, yes.
Okay, Martha, okay.
You look a little pale, honey. Would you like...
Yes, dear, a little more brandy, maybe. Just a drop.
May I use the...
What?
Bar.
What, yes, yes, by all means, drink away. You'll need it as the years go on. You damn destructive.
Oh, what time is it, dear?
2:30.
Oh, so late. Maybe we should be getting home.
For what? You keeping the babysitter up or something?
I told you we didn't have children.
I'm sorry. I wasn't even listening. Or thinking, whichever one applies.
We're going a little while.
Oh, no. No, you mustn't. Martha is changing, and Martha is not changing for me. Martha hasn't changed for me in years. If Martha is changing, it means we're going to be here for days. You're being accorded an honor, and you mustn't forget that Martha is the daughter of our beloved boss. She is his right arm. I was going to use another word, but we leave that sort of talk to Martha.
What sort of talk?
She's now wearing a tight-fitting blouse.
Well, now.
Nick's wife, Honey, stands open-mouthed.
Why, Martha, your Sunday chapel dress.
Oh, that's the most attractive. You like it?
Good. What the hell do you mean screaming up the stairs at me like that?
You got lonely, darling. You got lonely for the soft purr of your little voice.
Well, you just trot over to the barry poo
and make your little mommy a great big twink.
That's right. Say, you must be quite a guy getting your master's when you were, what, 12? Hear that, George?
12 and a half, actually.
He sits next to Martha.
Honey, you needn't have mentioned that.
I'm proud of you.
I'm very impressed.
You're damn right.
I said I was impressed. Beside myself with jealousy. What do you want me to do, throw up? That's really very impressive. You should be right proud.
Oh, he's a pretty nice fella.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did take over the history department one day.
Biology department.
Biology department, of course. I seem preoccupied with history. What a remark. I am preoccupied with history.
George is not preoccupied with history. George is preoccupied with the history department. George is preoccupied with the history department because
he's not the history department, but is only in the history department. We know, Martha. We went through all that while you were upstairs getting up.
That's right, baby. You keep it clean. George is bogged down in the history department. He's an old bog in the history department. That's what George is. A bog, a fen, a GT swamp. A swamp. Hey, swamp. Hey, Swampy.
Yes, Martha. Can I get you something?
Well, sure. You can light my cigarette if you're of a mind to.
No. There are limits. I mean, a man can put up with only so much without he descends a rung or two on the old evolutionary ladder, which is up your line. Now I will hold your hand when it's dark and you're afraid of the boogeyman, and I will tote your gin bottles out after midnight so no one can see, but I will not light your cigarette. And that, as they say, is that.
He walks away.
Jeez.
Honey takes a swig of brandy.
Hey, you played football, huh?
Well, yes, I was a quarterback, but I was much more adept at boxing, really.
Boxing? You hear that, George?
Yes, Martha.
You must have been pretty good at it. You don't look like you got hit in the face at all.
He was intercollegiate state middleweight champion.
Honey.
Well, you were.
You still look like you have a pretty good body now, too, is that right? Have you?
Martha, decency forbids.
Shut up. Is that right? Have you kept your body?
It's still pretty good. I work out.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yes. He has a very firm body.
Have you? Oh, I think that's very nice.
Well, you never know. You know, once you have it...
You never know when it's going to come in handy.
I was going to say, why give it up until you have to?
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more.
Martha, your obscenity is beyond human.
George here doesn't cotton too much to body talk. Paunchy here isn't too happy when the conversation moves to muscle. How much do you want?
155, 150.
Still at the old middleweight limit. That's pretty good. Hey, George, tell him about the boxing match we had.
Christ.
George, tell him about it.
You tell him, Martha. You're good at it.
He walks out of the room.
Is he all right?
Him? Oh, sure. See, George and I had this boxing match a couple of years after we were married.
A boxing match? The two of you?
Oh, really?
Yep. The two of us, really.
I can't imagine it.
Well, it wasn't in a ring or anything like that, you know. Oh. See, Daddy was on this physical fitness kick. Uh-huh. So he had a couple of us over one Sunday, and we all went out in the back, and Daddy put the gloves on himself, and he asked George to box with him. Uh-huh, yeah. And George
walks into a closet.
Yeah.
So Daddy was saying,
come on, young man, what sort of a son-in-law are you?
And stuff like that. And while this was going on, I don't know why I did it, I got into a pair of gloves myself, and I snuck up behind George, just kidding, and yelled, hey, George!
George takes down something from the top shelf.
Roundhouse right, just kidding.
Yeah.
And George wheeled around real quick and caught it right in the jaw. Pow!
Revealing a shot.
He caught it right in the jaw. And he was off balance. He must have been. And then he landed flat in a huckleberry bush.
He quietly walks back into the living room.
It was awful, really. It was funny. It was funny.
Aims the shotgun. An umbrella unfurls from the shotgun.
Now you're dead.
Where did you get that?
I've never been so frightened in my life.
Nick examines the shotgun.
Well, that was pretty good. Give me a kiss.
Oh, boy. So that's what you're after, is it? What are we going to have? Blue games for the guests, huh?
You
everything in its place, Martha. Everything in its own good time. Drinks now. Drinks for all. Why, Martha, you've been nibbling away at your glass.
I have not.
Oh, I think I need something. I was never so frightened in my life. Weren't you frightened just for a second?
I don't remember.
Oh, now I bet you were.
Did you really think I was going to kill you, Martha?
You kill me, that's a laugh.
Well, now I might someday.
Fat chance.
Where's the junk?
Oh, it's down the hall and two to the right.
Now, don't you come back with any guns or anything.
Oh, no.
You don't need any props, do you, baby?
Uh-uh.
I'll bet not. No fake gun for you, huh?
Mally Mendrick here?
Sure, why not? We could have filled glasses all over the house wherever Martha forgets she's left them. In the linen closet, in the edge of the bathtub. I even found one in the freezer once.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Brandy doesn't give you a hangover?
I never mix. And then I don't drink very much either.
Oh, good, good. Your husband was telling us all about the chromosomes.
What?
Chromosomes, Martha. He's a biologist, you know.
He's in the math department.
Biologist.
He's in the math department.
Oh, biology.
Are you sure?
Well, I ought to be sure.
So he's a biologist. Good for him.
Nick returns.
Biology's even better. It's right at the meat of things. You're right at the meat of things, baby. Oh?
She thought that you were in the math department.
Oh, maybe I ought to be.
You stay right where you are. You stay right at the meat of things.
You're obsessed by that phrase, Martha. It's ugly.
Stay right there. Hell, you can take over the history department just as easy from there as anyplace else. God knows somebody's got to take over the history department someday, and it ain't going to be Georgie boy over there, that's for sure. Are you, Swampy? Are you, huh?
Martha, in my mind, you are buried in cement right up to the neck. Now, up to the nose, it's much quieter.
When is your son?
What?
Something about your son.
Son?
When is your son? Where is your son coming home?
Oh.
George stands up.
Martha, when's our son coming home?
Never mind.
No, I want to know. You brought it out into the open. When's he coming home, Martha?
I said, never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Him up, not it. You brought him up. Well, more or less. When's the little bugger going to appear? I mean, isn't tomorrow meant to be his birthday or something?
I don't want to talk about it.
She gets up.
But Martha.
I don't want to talk about it.
I bet you don't. Martha doesn't want to talk about it.
George approaches
Martha
her.
Martha is Sorry, she brought it up, him.
When is the little bugger coming home?
Nick grimaces.
Yes, Martha, now that you've had the bad taste to bring the matter up in the first place, when is the little bugger coming home?
George talks disparagingly about the little bugger because, well, because he has problems.
The little bugger's got problems? What problems has the little bugger got?
Not the little bugger. Stop calling him that! You've got problems.
He turns away.
Never heard of anything more ridiculous in my life.
Neither have I.
Honey.
George's biggest problem about our son, about our great big son, is that deep down in the private most pit of his gut, he is not completely sure that it's his own kid.
My God, you're a wicked woman.
And I told you a million times, baby, I wouldn't conceive with anyone else. You know that, baby.
A deeply wicked person.
Oh, my.
I'm not sure that this is a subject for...
Martha's lying.
George gets up.
I want you to know that right now. Martha is lying. There are very few things that I'm certain of anymore, but the one thing in this whole sinking world that I am sure of is my partnership, my chromosomological partnership, in the creation of our blonde-eyed, blue-haired son.
Oh, I'm so glad.
He sits down.
That was a very pretty speech, George.
Thank you, Martha.
You rose to the occasion good. Real good.
Well, real well.
Honey.
Martha knows better.
That's right. I've been to college like everybody else. George, our son does not have blue hair. Or blue eyes, for that matter. He has green eyes like me. Beautiful, beautiful green eyes.
He has blue eyes, Martha.
Green.
Blue, Martha.
Green, you bastard.
Tut, tut, tut.
Tut, tut, tut yourself, you old floozy.
He's not a floozy. He can't be a floozy. You're a floozy.
Now, you just watch yourself.
All right. I'd like another little nipper of brandy, please.
Honey, I think you've had
nonsense.
Enough.
Nonsense. You're all ready, I think.
Nonsense.
Okay.
George has watery blue eyes, kind of milky blue.
Make up your mind, Martha.
I was giving you the benefit of a doubt. Daddy has green eyes, too.
He has not. He has tiny red eyes, like a white mouse. In fact, he is a white mouse.
You wouldn't dare say that if he was here. You're a coward.
You know that great shock of white hair and those little beady red eyes? A great big white mouse.
George hates Daddy, not for anything Daddy's done to him, but for his own...
inadequacies?
That's right. You hit it right on the snout. I wonder why the SOB hates my father. When George first came to the history department about 500 years ago, Daddy approved of him. And you want to know what I did, dumb cluck that I am? I fell for him.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, she did. You should have seen it. She'd sit outside my room at night on the lawn and howl and claw at the turf. I couldn't work, and so I married her.
He walks out of the room.
I actually fell for him. It, that, there.
Martha's a romantic at heart.
That I am. I actually fell for him. And the match seemed practical, too. For a while, Daddy really thought that George
minute,
had
Martha.
The stuff to take over when he was
Wait
ready
a minute,
to retire.
Martha.
And we both thought that naturally...
Stop it, Martha.
I know what you want.
I wouldn't go on with this if I were you.
Oh, you wouldn't, would you? Well, you're not.
You've already sprung a leak about you know what.
What? What?
About the sprout, the little bugger, our son. If you start in on this other business, Martha, I warn you.
I stand warned.
Do we really have to go through all this?
So anyway, I married the SOB. I had it all planned out. First, he'd take over the history department. Then when Daddy retired, he'd take over the whole college, you know? That was the way it was supposed to be. Getting angry, baby, huh?
Tapping his elbow.
That was the way it was supposed to be. All very simple. And Daddy thought it was a good idea, too, for a while. Until he started watching for a couple of years. Getting angry?
Tapping again.
Until he watched for a couple of years and started thinking that maybe it wasn't such a good idea after all. That maybe Georgie boy didn't have the stuff. That maybe he didn't have it in him.
Stop it, Martha.
Like hell I will. You see, George didn't have much push. He wasn't particularly aggressive. In fact, he was sort of a flop. A great big fat flop.
Stop it, Martha.
I hope that was an empty bottle, George. You can't afford to waste good liquor. Not on your salary. Not on an associate professor's salary. So here I am, stuck with this flop, this bog in the history department.
Martha.
Who's married to the president's daughter. Who's expected to
be somebody, not
Virginia
just
Woolf,
a
Virginia
nobody.
Virginia Woolf,
a bookworm. Who's so goddamn complacent.
George grabs Honey into a circle dance.
That doesn't have the guts to make anybody cry.
Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf?
All right, George, stop it! I'm gonna be sick. I'm gonna be sick.
She runs out. Nick runs after her.
Jesus.
Martha follows. George takes his glasses off, squints, and slowly walks in their direction. Takes a glass, walks the other way, and goes outside.
She'll be all right. I'll make some coffee.
Sure?
She'll be okay.
Nick stumbles back to the living room. Loosens his tie. Outside, George continues to walk away from the house. Nick goes to the bar. And pours himself another one. He goes out, watches George sitting alone on a tree swing. Nick steps out and walks toward George, while still carrying his drink in one hand and the bottle in the other. He stands next to George.
I'm really very sorry. She really shouldn't drink. She's frail. Slim-hipped, as you'd have it.
Where's my little Liam here? Where's Martha?
I think she's going to make some coffee. She gets sick quite easily.
Martha? No, she hasn't been sick a day in her life. Unless you count the time she spends in the restaurant.
No, no. My wife gets sick quite easily. Your wife is Martha.
Oh, yes. I know.
She doesn't really spend any time in a rest home.
Your wife?
No, yours.
Mine? Oh, no, no, she, she doesn't. I would. I mean, if I were her, she, I would, but then I'm not, so I don't. I'd like to, though. It's pretty bouncy around here sometimes.
Yes, I'm sure.
Your wife throws up a lot, huh?
I didn't say that. I said she gets sick quite easily.
Oh. Oh, by sick, I thought you meant that she...
Well, that's true, actually. She does throw up a lot.
The word is often.
When she starts, there's practically no stopping. I mean...
She'll go right on for hours. Not all the time. But regularly.
Until time,
Just about. Oh, sure.
George takes the bottle and pours himself another.
I married her because she was pregnant.
Oh. But, you said you didn't have any children when I asked you. You said...
She wasn't really. It was a hysterical pregnancy. She blew up and then she went down.
And when she was up, you married her?
And then she went down.
Bourbon.
George pours one for Nick and stands up.
When I was 16, going to prep school during the Punic Wars,
sits down by the tree.
A bunch of us used to go into town on the first day of vacations before we fanned out to our homes. And in the evening, this bunch of us would go to a gin mill owned by the gangster father of one of us, and we would drink with the grown-ups and listen to the jazz. And one time in the bunch of us, there was this boy who was 15, and he had killed his mother with a shotgun some years before. Accidentally, completely accidentally, without even an unconscious motivation, I have no doubt at all. And this one time, this boy went with us and we ordered our drinks. And when it came his turn, he said, "I'll have Bergen. Give me some Bergen, please. Bergen and water." Well, we all laughed. He was blonde and he had the face of a cherub, and we all laughed. And his cheeks went red and the color rose in his neck. And the waiter who'd taken our order told people at the next table what the boy had said, and then they laughed, and then more people were told, and the laughter grew, and more people and more laughter. And no one was laughing more than us, and none of us more than the boy who had shot his mother. Soon, everyone in the gin mill knew what the laughter was about, and everyone started ordering Bergen and laughing when they ordered it. And soon, of course, the laughter became less general, but it did not subside entirely for a very long time, for always at this table or that, someone would order Bergen, a whole new area of laughter would rise. We drank free that night, and we were bought champagne by the management, by the gangster father of one of us. And of course, we suffered next day, each of us alone on his train away from the city, and each of us with a grown-up's hangover. But it was the grandest day of my youth.
He takes a sip.
What happened to the boy? The boy who had shot his mother.
I won't tell you.
All right.
The following summer, on a country road, with his learner's permit in his pocket and his father on the front seat to his right, he swerved the car to avoid a porcupine and drove straight into a large tree. He was not killed, of course. And in the hospital, when he was conscious and out of danger, and when they told him his father was dead, he began to laugh. I have been told. And his laughter grew and would not stop. And it was not until after they jammed a needle in his arm, not until after that, not until his consciousness had slipped away from him, that his laughter subsided, was stopped. And when he was recovered from his injuries enough so he could be moved without damage should he struggle, he was put in an asylum. That was 30 years ago.
He takes a swig.
Is he still there?
Oh, yes. And I'm told that for these 30 years, he has not uttered one sound.
Nick, now sitting on the swing. They both drink up.
It's Big Martha.
She's making coffee.
Well, your hysterical wife goes up and down.
Went up and down.
George stands up.
Oh, went? And no more?
No more, nothing.
Martha doesn't have hysterical pregnancies.
My wife had one.
Martha doesn't have pregnancies at all.
Do you have any other kids? Do you have any daughters or anything?
Do you have any... what?
Do you have any... I mean, do you only have the one, kid, your son?
Oh, no, no, just one. One boy. Our son.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah, well, he's a comfort. He's a beanbag.
A what?
Beanbag, beanbag, you wouldn't understand. A bean bag.
I heard you. I didn't say I was deaf. I said I didn't understand.
You didn't say that at all?
I meant I was implying I didn't understand.
Nick gets up.
Christ's sake.
You're getting tested.
I'm sorry.
All I said was that our son, the apple of our three eyes, Martha being a cyclops, our son is a bean bag, and you get tested.
I'm sorry. It's late. I'm tired. I've been drinking since 9 o'clock. My wife is vomiting. There's been a lot of screaming going on around here.
So you get testy, naturally. Don't worry about it. Anybody who comes here ends up getting testy. It's expected. Don't be upset.
I'm not upset.
You're testy.
Yes.
I'd like to set you straight about something while we're out here. I'd like to set you straight about something Martha said.
Hey!
Hark, forest sounds.
Hmm?
Animal noises.
Hey!
Well, here's Nursey.
She now stands outside the house.
Sitting out. We're having coffee.
Is there anything I should do?
Nah, you just stay there and listen to Georgie's side of things. Bore yourself to death. You clean up the mess you made in here, George?
No, Martha, I did not clean up the mess I made. I've been trying for years to clean up the mess I made.
George, back on the swing.
Have you been trying for years?
Accommodation, adjustment. Those do seem to be in the order of things, don't they?
Don't try to put me in the same class with you.
No? No, of course not. I mean, things are simpler for you. You marry a woman because she's all blown up, whereas I, in my clumsy, old-fashioned way...
There was more to it than that.
Sure, sure. I bet she has money, too.
Yes.
Yes? Yes?
George gets off the swing.
You mean I was right? I hit it?
Well, you see...
My God, what archery. First try to how about that.
You see...
There were other things.
Yes.
To compensate.
Yes.
There always are. There always are. Allow me. Tell me...
Refilling Nick's glass.
About your wife's money.
okay, don't.
Nick lies prostrate on the ground.
My father-in-law was a man of the Lord. And he was very rich.
What faith?
My father-in-law was called by God when he was six or something. And he started preaching and he baptized people and he saved them. And he traveled around a lot and he became pretty famous. Not like some of them, but pretty famous. And when he died, he had a lot of money.
God's money?
No, his own.
George gets on the ground next to
Nick.
What
happened to God's money?
He spent God's money and he saved his own.
Well, I think that's very nice. Martha has money because Martha's father's second wife, not Martha's mother, but after Martha's mother died, was a very old lady who had warts, who was very rich.
She was a witch.
She was a good witch, yeah. And she married the white mouse with the tiny red eyes, and you must have nibbled a wart or something like that, because she went up in a puff of smoke almost immediately.
Poof!
Poof! Poof! And all that was left, apart from some wart medicine, was a big, fat well.
Maybe. Maybe my father-in-law and the witch with the wart should have gotten together. Because he was a mouse, too.
He was?
Sure, sure. He was a church mouse.
Nick, rolling on the grass, laughing.
Your wife never mentioned a stepmother. Well, maybe it isn't true. You realize that I've been drawing you out on this stuff because you represent a direct threat to me and I want to get the goods on you.
Sure, sure.
George sits up.
I've warned you. You stand warned.
I stand warned.
Nick sits up next to George.
It's you sneaky types worry me the most, you know. You ineffectual sons of bitches. You're the worst.
Well, I'm glad you don't believe me. After all, you got history in your side.
You got history on your side. I got biology on mine.
History?
Biology.
I know the difference.
You don't act it.
No? I thought we decided you'd take over the history department first before you take over the whole world, you know, one step at a time.
No, what I thought I'd do is I'd sort of insinuate myself generally, you know, find all the weak spots.
Mm-hmm. Like me.
Become sort of a fact and then turn into a...
Nick lies on his back.
A what?
An inevitability?
Exactly. An inevitability. I'd take over a few courses from the older men. Plow a few pertinent wives.
Now that's it. I mean, you can shove aside all the older men you can find, but until you start plowing pertinent wives, you're really not working. That's the way to power. Plow them all.
Yeah.
The way to a man's heart, the wide inviting avenue to his job is through his wife, and don't you forget it.
And I'll bet you your wife's got the widest, most inviting avenue on the whole damn campus. I mean, her father being president and all.
You bet your historical inevitability.
Refilling Nick's
yes,
drink.
Yes, sirree. I just better get her off into the bushes right away.
Why, you'd certainly better.
You know, I almost think you're serious.
Oh, baby, you almost think you're serious, and it scares the hell out of you.
Me?
Yes, you.
You're kidding.
I wish I were.
George stands up.
I'll give you some good advice if you want me to.
Good advice from you? Oh, boy.
You haven't learned yet. Take it wherever you can get it. Listen to me now.
Come off it.
Nick stumbles
I'm
to his feet.
Good advice now.
Good God.
There's quicksand here, and you'll be dragged down before you know it.
They walk together.
Shut down.
Oh.
Nick stumbles and falls.
You disgust me on principle, and you're a smug son of a bitch personally, but I'm trying to give you a survival kit. Do you hear me?
I hear you. You're coming loud.
Back on his
All
feet.
All right. You want to play by ear, right? Everything's going to work out anyway because the timetable's history, right?
Right, right. You just tend to your knitting, Grandma. I'll be okay.
I've tried to reach you to...
Make contact?
Yes.
Communicate?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's touching. That's downright moving. That's what that is. Up yours.
What?
You heard me. Honey!
Into the house.
Honey!
Take the trouble to construct
Nick wipes the grass off his suit pants.
Principles of,
grabs Honey's coat.
Honey!
You make government and art and realize that they are, must be, both the same. You bring things to the saddest of all points, to the point where there is something to lose.
Rummages under
they
seat cushions.
All at once, through all the music, through all the sensible sounds of men building, attempting, comes the Dies Irae. And what is it? What does the trumpet sound? Up yours.
Oh, ha ha! Bravo! Ha ha!
Thank you. Thank you.
Here we are, a little shaky, but on our feet. Yeah.
Wasn't
Good
too bad,
just
dear,
put this
really.
On. Just put this
I'm
on.
Not, I'm not cold, but
just
I am.
Just put it on, we're leaving.
You what?
We're leaving, going home.
Oh, well.
Wait a minute, what's been going on here? What have you been up to?
I'll go get the car.
You don't have to, I'll go
and
test.
George.
Yes, love.
Just what the hell do you think you're doing?
Let me see. I think what I'm doing is I'm getting the car to take our little guests home.
Oh.
In the car.
Well, aren't you going to apologize?
It wasn't my fault. The road should have been straight.
Not that, for making her throw up.
I did not make her throw up.
You most certainly did.
I did not.
No,
well, who do you think did? Sexy back there? You think he made his own wife sick?
Well, you make me sick.
That's different.
No, now, please. I throw up. I mean, I get sick occasionally all by myself without any reason.
Is that a fact?
You're delicate for me.
I've always done it.
Like Big Ben, huh?
Mm-hmm. Just watch him.
George makes everybody sick. Why, when our son was just a little boy,
don't
he used
Marta.
To throw up all the time. Because
I said, good. Don't, Marta.
It got so bad that whenever George came into a room, he'd start right in retching.
The real reason why our son used to throw up all the time, wife and lover, was because he couldn't stand you fiddling at him all the time, breaking into his bedroom, your kimono flying, fiddling.
Yeah, and I suppose that's why he ran away from home twice in 1 month. Twice in 1 month. 6 times in 1 year.
Our son ran away from home all the time because Martha here used to corner him.
I never cornered the son of a bitch in my life.
He used to run up to me when I'd get home and he'd say, Mama's always coming at me. That's what he'd say.
Liar!
That's the way
Liar!
Was. She was always coming at him. I thought it was very embarrassing.
If you thought it was so embarrassing, what are you talking about it for?
Thank you.
I didn't want to talk about it at all.
Oh, I wish I had some brandy. I love brandy. I really do.
Good for you.
It steadies me so.
I used to drink brandy.
He used to drink Bergen, too.
Shut up, Martha.
Huh? What?
Nothing.
Did he tell you about that?
Well...
Come on, he must have said something.
Actually, all we did is we sort of danced around a little.
Oh, I love dancing. I really do.
He didn't mean that.
Well, I didn't think that he did. Two grown men dancing. Heavens.
You mean he didn't start in on how he tried to publish a book and Daddy wouldn't let him?
Please, Martha.
What book?
Please, just a book.
Just a book?
Oh, look, dancing.
A flashing neon sign.
Why don't we dance? I'd love some dancing.
Honey, we're almost
home.
I want some dancing.
That's not such a bad idea.
I love dancing, don't you?
With the right man.
I dance like the wind.
Stop the car.
Martha.
We're going dancing.
For heaven's sakes.
Did you hear me?
All right, love, whatever love wants.
Honey spins on the cigarette-covered dance floor, twirls her scarf and cavorts about.
Well, put one on, will you?
The place is otherwise abandoned.
Yes, love. How are we going to work this? Mixed doubles?
You don't think I'm going to dance with you, do you?
No, not with him around, that's for sure. Not with Twinkle Toes here, either.
I'll dance with anyone. I'll dance by myself.
Honey, you get sick again.
I dance like the wind.
The jukebox starts.
All right, kiddies, choose up and hit the sack.
All right, George, cut that out. Cut it out, George!
What, Mama, what?
You son of a bitch!
What'd you say, love?
It stopped. Why did it stop? Oh,
what?
I said, give me some change.
Nick approaches Honey.
You are always at me when I'm having a good time.
I'm sorry,
just
honey.
Leave me alone. I like to dance and you don't want me to.
Like
just
to
leave me alone.
Choose it, Martha. Do your stuff.
Damn right.
Hi, sexy.
To Honey.
You want to dance, Angel Boobs?
What'd you call my wife?
Oh, boy.
No, if I can't do my interpretive dance, I don't want to dance at all. I'll just sit here.
Okay, Stuff, let's go.
Nick gets up and joins Martha on the dance floor.
We'll just sit here and watch.
That's right.
Hi.
Hi.
She puts her arms around him, then he puts his around her.
Strong, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
I like that.
They're dancing like they've danced before.
It's a familiar dance, Monkey Nipples. They both know it.
I don't know what you mean.
I like the way you move.
I like the way you move, too.
They like the way they move.
That's nice.
They separate and continue to dance.
George didn't tell you his side of things.
Well, he did.
That's surprising.
Does it?
Aren't they cute?
He usually does when he gets the chance.
I don't think he trusts me.
It's really a very sad story.
Is it?
Oh, it would make you weep.
You have ugly talents, Martha.
Is that so?
Rock and roll dancing.
Don't encourage her.
Encourage me.
Go on.
I warn you, don't encourage her.
He warns you. Don't encourage me.
I heard him. Tell me more.
Now they embrace.
Well.
Now separate.
Georgie boy had lots of big ambitions, in spite of something funny in his past, which Georgie boy here turned into a novel. His first attempt and also his last. Hey!
She launches into another embrace.
Yeah, you're right. Go on.
I warn you, Martha.
She climbs up to an unattended set of drums.
Oh, look at Georgie's novel.
You're looking for a punch in the mouth. You know that, Martha?
Do tell.
Gesturing with a drumstick.
And he was very shocked by what he read.
He was?
Oh, yes, he was. A novel all about a naughty boy child.
I will not tolerate this.
Oh, can it?
A naughty boy child who, killed his mother and his father dead!
George gets up.
Stop it, Martha!
And Daddy says, look here, I will not let you!
Rushes to the jukebox.
All right, the dancing's over.
And Daddy said, look here, kid, you don't think for a second I'm going to let you publish this kind of crap, do you? Not on your life, baby. Now, while you're teaching here, you publish that and you're out on your ass.
Is this?
He
will not be made knocker.
Oh, he will not be made mocker.
I will not. The game is over.
Just imagine a book all about a boy who murders his mother and kills his father and pretends it's all an accident.
Hey, wait a minute.
And do you want to know the clincher? Yeah. Do you want to know what Big Brave Georgie said to Daddy?
No.
Hey,
George,
wait a minute.
Said, but Daddy. I mean, but sir, this isn't a novel at all.
You will not say this.
Hell, if you keep away from me. No, sir, this isn't a novel at all. This is the truth. This really happened to me.
I'll kill you.
It happened.
He launches his hands toward her neck. Nick pulls George away from Martha and throws him to the floor.
All right. Very quiet now. It'll all be very quiet.
Oh, murderer.
A man walks in.
All right, what's the trouble in here?
Nothing, no trouble, just playing a game.
Well, we're closing.
One more round. Same for everybody, huh? Just give us one more round and we'll be on our merry way, all right? All right? Good. Thanks.
The man walks out.
Well, that's one game. What should we do now? Come on. I mean, let's think of something else. We played humiliate the host. We've gone from that one. What should we do now?
Oh, look.
I mean, come on. We must know other games, college-type types like us. That can't be the limit of our vocabulary.
Haven't you had enough?
See, there are other games. How about Hump the Hostess, huh? How about that? How about Hump the Hostess? You want to play that one? You want to play Hump the Hostess,
huh?
Oh, yeah, you want to wait till later. Get her off into the bushes.
Hump the Hostess!
Just shut up, will you?
A woman brings in a tray of glasses. And walks out.
You don't want to play that one now. You want to save that for later. What should we play now? We've got to have a game.
Portrait of a Man Drowning.
I'm not drowning.
You told me to shut up.
I'm sorry.
No, you...
I'm sorry.
Okay. I know what we'll do. Now that we threw with Humiliate the Host, we threw with that one for this round anyway, and we didn't want to play Hump the Hostess yet, not yet. So I know what we'll do. How about a little round of Get the Guests? How about that? How about a little game of Get the Guests?
Jesus, George.
Book dropper, child mentioner.
I don't like these games.
No,
we've only had one game. Now we've got to have another. You can't fly in one game.
But anyway,
Silence!
Nick starts to stand up.
How are we going to play Get the Guests? You be quiet!
And sits back down.
Yeah. Well, now, Martha, in her indiscreet way, told you all about my first novel, true or false. I mean, true or false that there ever was such a thing. Anyway, she told you about it, my first novel, my memory book, which I sort of preferred she hadn't, but hell, that's blood under the bridge. But what Martha didn't do, what Martha didn't tell you, what Martha didn't tell us all about, was my second novel. No, Martha, you didn't know about that, did you? My second novel, true or false?
No.
Well, it's an allegory, really, probably, and it's all about this nice young couple who comes out of the Middle West. It's a bucolic, you see, and this nice young couple comes out of the Middle West, and he's blonde, and he's about 30, and he's a...
Nick glares at him.
...scientist, a teacher, a scientist, and his mouse is a wifey little thing who gargles brandy.
Just a minute here.
This is my game. You've had your game, you people. This is my game.
I want to hear this story. I love stories.
And Mousy's father was a holy man, see, and he ran sort of a traveling clip joint, and he took the faithful, that's all. He just took them.
This is familiar.
No kidding.
Anyway, Blondie and his Frau out of the Plain States came.
Very funny, George.
Thank you, Martha. And they settle in the town just like Nouveau Carthage.
I don't think you better go on, mister.
Do you not?
Oh, I love familiar stories. They're the best.
How right you are. But Blondie was all in disguise. We'd all got up as a teacher because his baggage ticket had bigger things writ on it. H.I. Aye. Historical inevitability.
Look, there's no reason for you to go any further.
Let them go on.
We shall. And he had this baggage, and part of his baggage was in the form of his mouse.
But we don't have to listen to this.
It's not.
She resists.
You're right at the point. But what nobody could figure out about Blondie was his baggage, his mouse. I mean, here he was, Pan-Kansas swimming champion or something, and he had this mouse, of whom he was solicitous to a point that faileth human understanding, given that she was something of a simp in the long run.
This just isn't fair of you.
Perhaps not. Like as I said, his mouse, she tooted brandy immodestly and spent half her time in the upchuck.
I know these people.
Do you? Oh. But she was a money baggage, amongst other things. Godly money ripped from the golden teeth of the unfaithful, and she was put up with. Stop her.
Please don't.
Beg, baby.
George.
Oh, and now we get a flashback to how they got married.
No!
Yes!
Why?
How they got married? Well, how they got married was this. The mouse got all puffed up one day.
Speaking to honey.
And she went over to Blondie's house and she stuck out her puff and she said, look at me.
I don't like this.
Stop it. Look at me. I'm all puffed up. Oh, my goodness, said Blondie.
And so they were married.
And so they were married.
And then? What? And then what?
And then the puff went away again like magic. Poof.
She nods her head.
The puff went away.
Poof.
Honey,
I didn't mean to. Honestly, I didn't mean to.
You don't.
She gets up.
You told me.
Honey.
Nick gets up and embraces her.
No, you couldn't have told him. No.
And that's how you play get the guests.
Please, I'm gonna be sick. Leave me alone, I'm gonna be sick.
She runs outside.
You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that at all.
I hate hypocrisy.
That was cruel and vicious.
She'll get over it.
Damaging.
She'll recover.
Damaging to me.
To you.
To me.
To you?
Yes!
Oh, beautiful. My God, you gotta have a swine to show you where the truffles are. You just rearrange your alliances, boy. You look around and make the best of things.
Better put your wife in the car.
No, thanks. I've had enough rides for tonight. We'll walk home.
That's right. You go plan some new strategy.
You're going to regret this.
No doubt. I regret everything.
No. I mean, I'm going to make you regret this.
Go clean up the mess.
You just wait, mister.
Nick goes out.
Very good, George.
Thank you, Martha.
Really good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Honey, you did a good job. You really fixed it.
Uh-huh.
It's the most life you've shown in a long time.
You bring out the best in me, baby.
George pays the bar tab, and they go out.
Bastard.
That's all right for you. You can go around like a hopped-up Arab, slashing at everything in sight, scarring up half the world if you want to, but let somebody else try it. Oh, no.
Miserable.
My baby, I did it all for you. I thought you'd like it, sweetheart. It's to your taste, blood, carnage and all. I thought you'd sort of get excited, sort of heave and pant and come running at me, your melons bobbling.
You have really screwed up, George.
Oh, come on,
I mean it, you really have.
You can sit around with the gin running out of your mouth, you can humiliate me, you can tear me to pieces all night. That's perfectly okay, that's all right.
You can stand it.
I cannot stand it.
You can stand it. You married me for it.
That's a desperately sick lie.
Don't you know it even yet?
Oh, Martha.
I always gotten tired whipping you.
Mad.
Year after year.
Deluded, Martha, deluded.
It's not what I wanted.
I thought at least you were onto yourself. I didn't know.
I'm onto myself.
No, you're sick.
She goes after him.
I'll show you who's sick.
All right, Martha.
Stop it! Oh, boy. You really are having a field day, aren't you? Well, I'm going to finish you before I'm through with you.
You and that quarterback, you're both going to finish me.
Before I'm through with you, you'll wish you died in that automobile, you bastard.
And you'll wish you never mentioned our son.
Me, you.
I said I warn you.
I'm impressed.
I warned you not to go too far.
I'm just beginning.
I'm numbed enough so that I can take you when we're alone. I don't listen anymore. But if I do listen, I sift everything so I don't really hear you, which is about the only way to manage it. But you've taken a new tack, Martha, in the last century or two, which is just too much. Too much. I don't mind your dirty underthings in public. Well, I do mind, but I've reconciled myself to that. But you move bag and baggage into your own fantasy world. You don't
nuts.
Know... What do you have?
Nuts!
You can go on saying that as long as you want, but
have
when you finish...
Have you ever listened to your sentences, George? You're so convoluted, that's what you are. You talk like you were writing one of your stupid papers.
Actually, I'm rather worried about you, about your mind.
Don't you worry about my mind, sweetheart.
I think I'll have you committed.
You what?
I think I'll have you committed. Well, I've got to find some way to get at you.
You've got at me. You don't have to do anything, George. 1,000 years of you has been quite enough.
You go quietly then.
Do you want to know what's happened, George? Do you want to know what's really happened? It snapped. Finally, not me, it. The whole arrangement. Boy, you can go on forever and ever. Everything is manageable. You make all sorts of excuses to yourself. To hell with it. This is life. Maybe tomorrow he'll be dead. Maybe tomorrow you'll be dead. All sorts of excuses. Then one day, one night, something happens and snap! It breaks and you just don't give a damn anymore. I've tried with you, baby. I really tried.
Come off it, Martha.
I really tried.
You're a monster. You are.
I'm loud, and I'm vulgar, and I wear the pants in the house because somebody's got to. But I am not a monster. I'm not!
You're a spoiled, self-indulgent, willful, dirty-minded, liquor-ridden...
It went snap. I'm not going to try to get through to you anymore. There was a second back there. Yeah, there was a second. Just a second when I could have gotten through to you. When maybe we could have cut through all this crap. But it's past. And I'm not going to try.
Once a month, Martha. I've gotten used to it. Once a month and we get misunderstood Martha, the good-hearted girl underneath the barnacles, the little miss that the touch of kindness would bring to bloom again. And I believed it more times than I'd like to admit, because I don't like to think I'm that much of a sucker. But I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. There is no moment, anymore when we could come together.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. You can't come together with nothing and you're nothing. Snap! I looked at you tonight and you weren't there. Finally snapped. And I'm gonna howl it out. And I'm not gonna give a damn what I do, and I'm gonna make the biggest goddamn explosion you've ever heard.
You try and I'll beat you at your own game.
Is that a threat, George, huh?
That's a threat, Martha.
You're gonna get it, baby.
Be careful, Martha. I'll rip you to pieces.
You're not man enough. You haven't the guts.
Total war?
Total.
She runs and gets in the car.
Oh, come on, Martha.
Drives off without shutting the door. Runs over a barrel in the parking lot. Drives past Nick and Honey. Then pulls over. They get in the car. She makes a U-turn. Speeds past George. At the house, the car is parked, with the right blinker still flashing. The right rear door is opened, revealing Honey lying on the back seat. George looks up at the house and walks toward the front door. The front door is chained from the inside. He kicks the door open. He starts toward the stairs. Picks up a jacket off the stairs. Tosses the jacket on the floor. and turns around. Heads back outside. Sits on the front step. In the car, Honey wakes up. She steps out of the car.
Bells. I've been hearing bell, bell ringing, bells ringing. I've been hearing bells.
She sits down next to George.
And I couldn't sleep for the bells. And ding, dong, ding, dong. It woke me up. What time is it?
Don't bother me.
He stands up.
Bells. I was asleep, and I was dreaming of something, and I heard the sounds coming, and I didn't know what it was.
George looks up at the second story window.
It frightened me.
Sees silhouettes on the curtains.
I get you, Martha.
The wind was so...
Somehow, Martha.
And there was someone there, and I didn't want someone there. I was naked.
You know what's going on, do you?
I don't want it anymore.
Listen to him.
No, I don't.
He pulls her up.
I don't want them. Please leave me alone.
Throws her down to the ground.
I don't want any children. I don't want any children. Please. I'm afraid. I don't want to be hurt. Please. Please.
I should have known. Does he know that? Does that stud you married to know about that, huh?
About what? Just stay
away. How do you do it, huh? How do you make your secret little murders? Pills, pills? You got a secret supply of pills or what? Apple jelly, willpower?
What, you're sick?
You're gonna throw up again?
Where is he? I want my husband. I want a drink.
That's right. Go at it.
I want something.
You know what's going on up there, little miss, huh?
She gets up.
I don't want to know anything. You leave me alone. Who rang?
What?
What were the bells? Who rang?
Your husband's up there and you want to know who rang?
Who rang? Someone rang.
Someone...
rang.
Someone rang. Yes.
Bells rang.
Yes, the bells rang and it was someone...
Somebody.
Somebody. Somebody rang. The bells rang and it was somebody... with them. I've got it.
A thin smile on his face.
It was a message. And the message was, our son. It was a message. The bells rang. And it was a message. And it was about our son. And the message was... And the message was... Our son is dead.
Oh, no.
Our son is dead and Martha doesn't know. I haven't told Martha.
No.
Our son is dead and Martha doesn't know.
Oh, God.
And you're not going to tell her.
And your son is dead.
She shakes her head.
I'll tell her myself. In good time, I'll tell her myself.
I'm going to be sick.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I'm going to die.
Good, good. Go right ahead.
She trips up the steps and goes in the house. George remains outside.
Martha, I have some terrible news. It's about our son. He's dead. Do you hear me, Martha? Our boy is dead.
The moon shines behind the trees.
Hey! Hey!
George!
Martha walks about outside in the dark, a glass in one hand.
Where the hell is everybody?
She leans on the car. She notices the blinker is still on. She opens the driver's side door and turns off the blinker. Walks away from the car.
George!
Leans against a tree.
George! Clink. Clink. Clink.
Walks back to the house.
My God, you've gone crazy too.
Clink.
I said you've gone crazy too.
Probably.
You've all gone crazy.
She reaches Nick on the front step.
I come downstairs and what happened?
What happened?
My wife's in the can with a liquor bottle and she winks at me. Winks at me.
She's never winked at you? What a shame.
She's lying down on the floor, the tiles all curled up. And she starts peeling the label on the liquor bottle, the brandy bottle.
Maybe she'd be more comfortable in the tub.
And I ask her what she's doing, and she goes, shh, nobody knows I'm here. And I come down here, and you're stumbling around, going, clink, for God's sake. Clink.
Clink.
She raises her glass.
You've all gone crazy.
Yeah, sad but true.
Where is your husband?
He is vanished. Poof!
You're all crazy. Nuts.
Ah, 'tis the refuge we take when the unreality of the world sits too heavy on our tiny heads.
He sips his drink.
Relax. Sink into it. You know better than anybody else.
I think I am.
Well, you're certainly a flop in some departments.
She goes in the house. He follows.
What'd you say?
I said you certainly are a flop in some
degree. I'm sorry you're disappointed.
Maybe sometime when I've been drinking for 10 hours.
Baby, you sure are a flop.
Boy, you're something. You know that? I mean, you're really something. Boy, you know, to you... everybody's a flop. Your husband's a flop. I'm a flop.
You're all flops.
To the kitchen.
I am the Earth Mother, and you are all flops. I disgust me.
She opens the back door and leans against the screen door.
You know, there's only been one man my whole life who's ever made me happy. Know that?
What? At the gym instructor or something?
No. George. My husband?
You're kidding.
Am I?
You must be. Him?
George.
You don't believe it?
Why, of course I do.
You always deal in appearances.
Oh, for God's sake.
George, who is out somewhere there in the dark, who is good to me, whom I revile, who can keep learning the games we play as quickly as I can change them, who can make me happy, and I do not wish to be happy. Yes, I do wish to be happy. George and Martha. Sad. Whom I will not forgive for having come to rest, for having seen me and having said, yes, this will do. Who has made the hideous, the hurting, the insulting mistake of loving me. I must be punished for it. George and Martha. Sad.
Sad.
Someday, some night, some stupid liquor-ridden night, I will go too far. I'll either break the man's back or I'll push him off a good, which is what I deserve.
I don't think he's got a vertebra intact.
Oh, you don't. You don't think so. Oh, little boy. You got yourself so hunched over that microscope.
Yeah.
And you don't see anything, do you? You see everything but the goddamn mind. You see all the little specks and the crap, but you don't see what goes on, do you?
All right, now.
Oh, you know so little. And you're gonna take over the world, huh?
I said, all right.
Oh, Stallion's mad. The gelding's getting all upset, huh?
Boy, you swing wild, don't you?
You poor little bastard.
Get out of that business.
Go answer the door.
What'd you say to me?
I said go answer the door. What are you, deaf?
You want me to go answer the door?
That's right, you lunkhead. Go answer the door. Must be something you can do well. Me too drunk to do that, too.
Look, there's no need for you to go into this.
Answer it! You can be houseboy around here for a while. You can start in being houseboy right now.
Look, lady, I'm no flunky to you.
Sure you are. You're ambitious, aren't you? I mean, you didn't come back here with me out of mad-driven passion, did you now? You were thinking a little bit about your career, weren't you? Well, you can just houseboy your way up the ladder for a while.
She shoves the ice bucket
it's
into his hands.
No, baby, none. Go answer the door. Go on, get!
Amos, wanton.
Now, you just do as you're told. You show old Martha there's something you can do, huh?
Coming, for Christ's sake!
Wonderful Martha!
Just to go.
She does a little dance.
Stop that!
Sorry, baby. Now you go answer the little door, huh?
Flores para los muertos, flores.
Oh, how lovely.
Behind the flowers is George.
Why, Sonny, you came home for your birthday at last.
Stay away from me.
He hugs Nick.
That's a houseboy, for God's sake.
Really? That's not our own little Sonny Jim? Our own little all-American something or other?
I certainly hope not. He's been acting awful funny for years.
Yeah, I bet. Chippy, 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 huh? Marta, I run these flowers,
He swings the flowers toward her.
Rosemary, violence, my wedding bouquet.
She kneels.
If you two kids don't mind, I think I'll just get it.
My wife.
You stay right where you are. Make my hubby a drink.
I don't think I will.
No, Martha, no. That would be too much. I mean, he's your houseboy, baby, not mine.
I'm nobody's houseboy.
Now.
I'm nobody's houseboy now.
Vicious
children, huh? They're right. Vicious children with their oh-so-sad games, hopscotching their way through life, etc., etc. Is that it?
Something like that.
Screw baby.
Oh, him can't. Him too full of booze.
Really? Here, dump these in some gin.
Nick throws them to the floor.
Oh!
What a terrible thing to do to Martha Snapdragon.
Is that what they are?
Yep, and here I went in the moonlight all the way to Daddy's greenhouse to pick them for her.
There is no moon. I saw it go down from the bedroom.
From the bedroom? Well, there is a moon.
There is no goddamn moon. The moon went down.
That may very well be, Chastity, but it came back up.
Bull.
Once, when I was sailing past Mallorca, the moon went down, thought about it for a while, and then, pop, came up again, just like that.
That is not true. That is such a lie.
You must not call everything a lie, Martha, must she?
Hell, I don't know when you people are lying or what.
You're damn right.
You're not supposed to.
Right.
At any rate, I was sailing past Mallorca.
You never sailed past Mallorca?
Martha?
You were never in the Mediterranean at all, ever.
I certainly was. My mommy and daddy took me there as a college graduation present.
Nuts.
Was this after you killed them?
Maybe.
Yeah, and maybe not, too.
Jesus.
Truth and illusion. Who knows the difference, eh, Toots? Eh, houseboy?
I'm not a houseboy.
Look, I know the game. You don't make it in the sack, you're a houseboy.
I am not a houseboy.
Then you must have made it, yes? Yes? Somebody's lying around here. Somebody's not playing the game straight. Come on, come on. Who's lying, Martha? Come on.
Tell him I'm not a houseboy.
No, you're not a houseboy.
So be it.
Truth and illusion, George. You don't know the difference.
No, but we must carry on as though we did.
Amen.
He picks up the flowers.
Snap went the dragons.
Thank you.
Skip it.
I said snap went the dragons.
Yeah, we know.
Starts throwing them at Martha.
No, George!
Snap!
Don't do that.
Shut up, stud.
I'm not a stud.
Snap, then you're a houseboy. Which is it? Which are you, huh? Snap.
Does it matter to you, George?
Snap. No, actually, it doesn't. Either way, I've had it.
Stop throwing those damn things at me!
Either way, snap.
Do you want me to do something to him?
You leave him alone.
Which are you, baby? Houseboy or stud?
God's sake.
Snap!
Truth or illusion, George, doesn't it matter to you at all?
Snap. Got your answer, baby?
Got it.
She sits down.
You just gird your blue-veined loins, girl. Now we've got one more game to play, and it's called Bringing Up Baby.
Oh, for lords.
I don't want any fuss. You don't want any scandal around here, do you, big boy? You want to keep to your timetable, don't you? Then sit. And you, pretty miss. You like fun and games, don't you? You're a sport from way back, aren't you?
All right, George, all right.
Good, good. But we're not all here. You. Your little wifelet isn't here.
Look, she's had a rough night.
Well, we can't play without everybody here now. That's a fact. We gotta have your little wife. Sue-wee! Sue-wee!
Cut that!
You just get off your butt and bring that little dip back in here. Now be a good puppy. Go fetch. Fetch, good puppy. Go fetch.
Nick gets up to fetch his wife.
One more game.
I don't like what's going to happen.
Do you know what it is?
He puts his arm around her.
No.
Maybe you will, Mom.
She leans her head on his chest.
It's a real fun game.
No more games.
One more, Martha. One more game, and then beddy bye. Everybody pack up his tools and baggage and stuff and go home. And you and me? Well, we're going to climb them well-worn stairs.
Oh, no, George, no.
Yes, baby.
No, George, please.
It'll all be done before you know it.
No.
No climb stairs with Georgie?
No more games. It's games I don't want, George. No more games, please.
Oh, sure you do. Original game girl and all. Of course you do.
No, George, please.
She reaches towards his shoulder.
Don't you touch me. Keep your paws clean for the undergraduates.
He grabs her by the hair.
So listen to me, Martha. You've had yourself an evening. You've had yourself quite a night. You can't cut it out just whenever there's enough blood in your mouth. We're going on, and I'm going to have at you, and it's going to make your performance tonight look like an Easter pageant. I want you to get yourself a little alert. I want a little life in you.
Stop that!
Pull yourself together. I want you on your feet and slugging, because I'm going to knock you around, and I want you up for it.
All right, George, what do you want?
An equal battle, baby, that's all.
You'll get it.
I want you mad.
I'm mad.
Get madder.
Don't worry about it.
Good girl. We'll play this one to the death.
Yours.
You'll be surprised.
Yeah.
Here come the little tots. You'll be ready for this.
I'm ready for you.
Here we are.
Holding a bottle of brandy.
Are you a bunny, honey?
I'm a bunny, honey.
Well, now, how's the bunny?
Bunny funny.
Bunny funny. Good
come
for bunny.
Come on, George.
Honey funny bunny. All right. Here we go. Last game. All sit. Sit down, Martha. This is a civilized game.
Just get on with it.
Now, I think we've been having a real good evening, all things
he
considered.
He climbs up on the couch.
And we've got to know each other, and we've had fun and games. Curl up on the floor, for example.
The tiles.
The tiles. Snap the dragon.
Peel the label.
Peel the what?
Label. Peel the label. I peel labels.
We all peel labels, sweetie. And when you get through the skin, all three layers, and through the muscle, and slosh aside the organs, them which is still sloshable, and get down to the bone, do you know what you do then?
No.
When you get down to the bone, you haven't got all the way yet. There's something inside the bone. The marrow. And that's what you've got to get at.
Oh, I see.
The marrow.
Sitting next to
the
honey.
Bones are pretty resilient, especially in the young. Now, take our son.
Who?
Our son, Martha's and my little Joy.
George?
Yes, Martha?
Just what are you doing?
Why, love, I'm talking about our son.
Well, don't.
But I want to, Martha. I think it's very important we talk about him. You, my dear, you want to hear about our bouncy boy, don't you?
Who?
Martha's and my son.
You have a child?
Oh, yes, indeed, do we ever. Martha, do you want to talk about him or shall I?
Don't, George.
All right.
He stands up.
Well, now, let's see. He's a nice kid, really, in spite of his home life. I mean, most kids will grow up neurotic, what with Martha here carrying on the way she does, sleeping till 4 in the p.m., climbing all over the poor bastard, trying to break down the bathroom door to wash him in the tub when he's 16, dragging strangers into the house at all hours.
Okay, you.
Martha?
That's enough.
Well, do you want to take over?
Why would anybody want to watch somebody who's 16 years old?
Oh, for Christ's sake, honey.
Well, why?
Because it's a baby poo.
All right. Our son, you want our son. You'll have it.
She empties her glass.
Do you want a drink?
Yes.
We don't have to hear about it if you don't want to.
Who says so? You in a position to set the rules around here?
No.
Good boy, you'll go far. All right, Martha, your recitation, please.
What?
She takes the glass.
Our son.
All right. Our son. Our son was born in a September night, a night not unlike tonight. Now tomorrow. And 16 years ago.
See, I told you.
It was an easy birth.
No, Martha, no. You labored. How you labored.
It wasn't easy birth. Once it had been accepted, relaxed into.
Ah, that's better.
It was an easy birth. Once it had been accepted. And I was young. And he was healthy. A red, bawling child.
Martha thinks she saw him at delivery.
With slippery, firm limbs. A full head of black, fine, fine hair. Which only later became
blonde as the sun. Our son.
He was a healthy child.
I had wanted a child. Oh, I had wanted a child.
A son? Daughter?
A child. Child. I had my child.
Our child.
Our child. We raised him. Yes, we did. We raised him. And he had green eyes. Such green, green eyes.
Blue, green, brown.
He loved the sun. And he was tan before and after everyone. And in the sun, his hair became fleece.
Fleece?
Beautiful. Beautiful boy.
Absolve Domine animus omnium fidelium defunctum.
He recites from a book.
Vinculo delictorum.
So beautiful. So wise.
All truth being relative.
It was true. Beautiful, wise, perfect.
There's a real mother talking.
I want a child. I want a child.
On principle?
I want a child. I want a baby. And of course, his perfection could not last. Not with George. Not with George around.
There, you see, I knew she'd shift.
Be still.
Sorry, Mother.
Can't you be still?
Dominus vobiscum.
Not with George around. A drowning man takes down those nearest, and he tried. And oh, God, how I fought him. God, how I fought him. The one thing I tried to carry pure
Liberemi
and unscathed through the sewer of our marriage, through the sick nights and the pathetic, stupid days, through the derision and the laughter, oh God, the laughter. One failure after another, each attempt more numbing, more sickening than the one before. The one person I tried to protect, to raise above the mire of this vile, crushing marriage. The one light in all this hopeless darkness. Our son. Stop it!
Kyrie eleison.
Stop it!
Eleison. Kyrie eleison.
Just stop it!
Why, baby, don't you like it?
You can't do this.
Who says?
I say!
Tell us why, baby.
No.
Is this game over?
Yes, it's over.
Oh, no, no, not by a long shot. We've got a little surprise for you, baby. It's about Sonny Jim.
No more, George.
Yes? Leave it. I'm running this show. Sweetheart, I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you. For both of us, I mean. Some rather sad news.
What is this?
Well, Martha, while you were busy, while the two of you were busy, I mean, I don't know where but hell, you must have been somewhere. While you were busy for a while, Missy and I were having a little talk. You know, a chaw and a talk, and the doorbell rang.
Chimed.
And, well, Martha, it's hard for me to tell you.
Tell me. Please, don't tell me.
Well, what it was good old Western Union, some little boy about 70.
Crazy Billy?
Yes, Martha, that's right, Crazy Billy. And he had a telegram, and it was for us. I have to tell you about it.
Why didn't they phone it? Why did they bring it? Why didn't they telephone it?
Some telegrams you have to deliver, Martha. Some telegrams you cannot phone.
What do you mean?
Martha, I can hardly bring myself to say it.
Don't!
You want to do it?
No! No, no, no!
All right. Well, Martha, I'm afraid our boy isn't coming home for his birthday.
Of course he is.
No, Martha.
Of course he is. I say he is.
He can't.
He is. I say...
Martha! Our son is dead.
Tears come to her eyes.
He was killed late in the afternoon on a country road with his learner's permit in his pocket. He swerved the car to avoid a porcupine and drove straight into a...
You can't do that.
She stands up.
Large tree.
You cannot do that.
I thought you should know.
No. No. You cannot do that. You can't decide these things for yourself. I will not let you do that.
I have to leave around noon, I suppose.
I will not let you decide these things.
Because there are matters of identification, naturally, and arrangements to be made.
You can't do this.
She runs to attack him.
Get your hand off me!
Nick pulls her away.
Now you listen to me. Our son is dead.
You're not going to decide anything. Let go of me.
Listen to me carefully. We got a telegram. There was a car accident, and he's dead. Poof. Just like that. Now, how do you like it?
No!
Go now, she'll be all right.
She collapses to the floor. Honey covers her ears with her hands.
He is not dead.
He is dead. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison.
No, you cannot decide.
He hasn't decided anything, lady. It's not his doing. He doesn't have the power.
That's right. I'm not a god. I don't have any power over life and death, do I?
You can't kill him. You can't let him die. You can't.
There was a telegram, Martha.
Show it to me. Show me that telegram.
I ate it.
What did you just say to me?
I ate it.
She spits in his face.
Good for you, Martha.
That's the way to treat her at a time like this, making a lousy goddamn joke, huh?
Did I eat the telegram or did I not?
Yes, yes, you ate it. I watched you and you ate it all down.
Like a good boy.
Like a good boy. Yes, you're not going to get away with this.
You know the rules, Martha, for God's sake. You know the rules.
No.
What are you two talking about?
I can kill him if I want to.
He is our child.
Oh, yes, and you bore him and it was a good delivery.
He is our child.
And I have killed him.
No.
Yes.
God, I think I understand this.
Do you?
Oh, my God, I think I understand this.
Good for you, Buster.
Oh, my God, I think I understand this.
You've no right. You've no right at all.
I have the right, Martha. We never spoke about it, that's all. I could kill him any time I wanted to.
Why? Why?
Broke our rule, Martha. You mentioned him. You mentioned him to somebody else.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Oh. To me, you mentioned him to me.
Martha goes to sit by the window.
I forget. Sometimes when it's night and it's late and everybody else is talking, I forget and I want to mention him, but I hold on. I hold on. I've wanted to so often. But George, you pushed it. There was no need for this. I mentioned him, all right, but you didn't have to push it over the edge. You didn't have to kill him.
Requiescat in pace.
Amen. You didn't have to have him die.
Requiem aeterna dona eis, Domine.
That wasn't needed.
Couldn't have any?
We couldn't.
We couldn't.
Going to bed, you're on his way past your bedtime.
Honey,
You two go now.
She kisses his hand.
Yes.
I'd like to
know.
They leave. George walks past Martha, turns off a lamp.
You want anything?
No, nothing.
All right. Time for bed.
Yes.
Tired?
Yes.
I am. Sunday tomorrow. All day.
Yes. He walks toward her. Puts his hand on her shoulder.
Did you have to?
Yes.
It was. You had to.
Yes.
I don't know.
It was time.
Was it?
Yes.
I'm cold.
It's late.
Yes.
He caresses her hair.
Better.
I don't know.
Will be, maybe.
I'm not sure. Just us?
Yes.
You don't suppose me?
No.
She clasps her hand on his. The morning sun shines through the trees. Words appear. The end. There are no credits. The music continues to play as exit music. Audio description by Lou Lasher. Thank you.